which makes it all the more comical when he follows it up with a question of utterly naive optimism, saying to his disciples, "Have you understood all of this?" And in the single most startling line of this entire passage, those disciples actually say, "Yes, yes, we got it." To which I want to reply like the witch and the princess bride, "Liar! Liars!" Because not only has Jesus thrown way too much material at us to properly process in one sitting, even when we go back and take our time with his parables, carefully looking at those five he's thrown at us today, we discover not one of them, not one of them makes a lick of sense. Jesus has left us with a series of images that are, in fact, ludicrous. Consider a few of the details. Here's what he says. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. It's small, but grows into a great shrub, then a tree, and the birds rest in it. Which is, admittedly, lovely imagery. Lovely, that is, were it not so absolutely absurd. I don't know if you've heard this before, but the fact is, mustard seeds don't actually grow into trees at all. And the shrub that does grow from the mustard seed, perhaps if any of you are farmers, you will know this, the shrub that does grow from mustard seed is honestly considered a noxious weed. Farmers dread the thing. Which means Jesus has essentially said to us, "See this ugly weed that absolutely no one wants around? That is what the kingdom of heaven is like. Have you understood all this?" To which the only sane response is, "No, not even close." And his second parable is no less peculiar. The kingdom of heaven, he says, is like yeast mixed in 3 measures of flour until it is leavened. Which again, is familiar and homey and wonderfully earthy language, like many of his parables, and also bewildering and bizarre for 2 reasons. First, not a single member of Jesus' audience, made up of a bunch of rural peasants, has ever, in their entire life, worked with 3 measures of flour all at once. And why? Because, although we don't use this measurement system anymore, it's the equivalent of something like 50 pounds of flour, which could make bread for over 150 people, save for the fact that it only lasts a day or two before it spoils. Meaning, given that there's no mention of a feast at all, that's not what he compared the kingdom to here. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast put in flour that will soon spoil before anyone has a chance to eat it. What is that supposed to mean? Second, on this same parable, although our English translation cleans it up a bit by honestly fudging the language just a bit, what our translation says is the kingdom of heaven is like yeast mixed in flour. But the verb Jesus actually uses is hidden. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast hidden in 3 measures of flour. And the Greek word for hidden is encrypto. It's where we get our word encryption. It's not actually a culinary term at all. It doesn't apply to cooking in any way. As if Jesus is saying the baker encrypted the yeast with dough. What does that mean? Well, no one knows, because it's phrasing that's not found anywhere in all of ancient literature outside of this one sentence. There's actually a big nerd fight over this wording among the theologians about what this could possibly mean, because no one can make any sense of it. Have you understood all of this? No, not remotely. The third and fourth parables, well, they're no different from the first two. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, is like treasure in a field which someone happened to find and then hid again and then sold all they had to buy the field. The kingdom of heaven, he continues, is like a merchant searching for fine pearls on finding one of great value, they sell all they have and they buy it. I mean, on the surface, that makes sense, right? No, don't shake your head yes. No, it doesn't. Here's the problem. The first parable suggests the kingdom is a treasure found by sheer dumb luck, like the black gold of the Beverly Hillbillies. Remember them? Whereas the second parable of this set suggests the kingdom is like a merchant who searches with skill and purpose and years of experience. On the one hand, the kingdom of heaven is like a person of skill. On the other hand, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure found by dumb luck. That is what the kingdom of heaven is like? I don't know what you're saying. Have you understood all of this? Honestly, I don't know what you're talking about. And how about that fifth and final parable? Does it save the day? Is it any less odd for us? The kingdom of heaven is like a net. I mean, that's clear, right? The kingdom of heaven is like a net. It's like a net thrown into the sea that caught fish of every kind until it was full and it was pulled ashore. I can imagine all of that, right? But let me get this straight. We just heard that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that we find by luck. And the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant who searches and searches until they find exactly what they're looking for. But now Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that catches us. The other way around. We don't find it. We don't search for it. Actually, it ensnares us. I thought it was something we found by luck or skill or whatever. But now you simply do nothing to find the kingdom of God. Just swim along through life until we're caught in its folds and hauled ashore. And speaking of being hauled ashore, I mean, think with me on this just a little bit. If we're supposed to be the fish, obviously, in this parable, right? I mean, I think that's pretty straightforward. We're the fish in this parable. Don't we normally want to avoid nets if we're fish? Because they're like mustard seeds to farmers. Only worse, because if we're caught in them, doesn't that mean someone's about to eat us? Goodness. This is what the kingdom of heaven is like? Have you understood all of this? Are you kidding me? No, I have not. And yet, well, here are the disciples, nodding along, right along with them, like all of this makes perfect sense. When the truth of the matter is, you can manipulate these passages however you prefer. And believe me, I've spent a week trying to do so. They're still going to come out as nonsense. Which, as soon as I finally got my mind around accepting that, which is when it hit me, what if, just maybe, instead of trying to massage some meaning into or out of these passages, what if we simply took these parables as they are? That is, what if nonsense is precisely Jesus' point today? What if what those disciples understood, the lesson that they learned today, is that the kingdom of heaven refuses to be bound by our beliefs about what does or doesn't make sense? The kingdom of heaven is like a noxious weed turned into the most exalted tree. Exactly because the kingdom of heaven is not bound by our sense of what's possible. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast hidden in 50 pounds of flour. Exactly because it's not bound by our calculations of what's appropriate in the kitchen. The kingdom of heaven is like the treasure of the lucky man and the skill of the merchant. Exactly because it's not bound by our aversion to paradox. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that catches us, even while it's a treasure we must seek. Exactly because it's not bound by our usual conceptions of cause and effect. Perhaps what those disciples understood that day is that the kingdom of heaven is not a puzzle you and I are meant to solve, but rather a mystery we are called to embrace. Impossible, but still promised. Love even your enemies, and you will be perfect like your Father in heaven. It's not deemed appropriate by our cultural standards, but still approved by God. Confess your sins to one another and forgive 70 times 7. The kingdom of heaven is paradoxical and topsy-turvy, but nevertheless God's truth. When we are weak, then we are strong. The kingdom of heaven is not a matter of cause and effect, Jesus seems to be saying, but rather a matter of courage and faithfulness. It is not the sword that overcomes the powers of this world, but one thing only, and that is, Wendy, love. And by love, we are more than conquerors. It's not a matter of cause and effect that makes sense to me. It's a matter of courage and faithfulness. Am I willing to be patient and kind, gentle and forgiving? Because love overcomes all. For perhaps in a world like ours, in a world like theirs, and in a world like ours, where violence and greed and division are regularly declared sensible, justifiable, the way the world actually is. Perhaps in such a world, precisely what we need today is the sort of holy nonsense Jesus seems to be calling us to. A kind of nonsensical thinking and acting that helps us think and act in new ways. In fact, perhaps what Jesus is calling us to today is the very sort of nonsense that once inspired a young black woman back in 1984 in a state with a nearly all-male, all-white Congress to run for a seat in the Oregon State Legislature. A move that made about as much sense as planting mustard seed in your garden or hiding yeast in 50 pounds of flour. And yet, precisely the sort of nonsense that finally brought about so much needed good in this state. That woman, by the way, would not only go on to win the election, she'd later become a key sponsor of several bills that finally brought equity and inclusion to this state, and become the first African American, male or female, to serve as president pro tempore of the Oregon State Senate. If you happen to be new to Oregon or to East County, I am talking, of course, of our beloved Margaret Carter, whose more recent accomplishments we're going to have opportunity to celebrate a little bit later in this service today. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus proclaims, may sometimes look a lot like nonsense. Take up your cross and follow me. Only by dying are you able to live. Turn the other cheek, go the extra mile, give your cloak, share your possessions. It's nonsense. See beyond male and female, black and white, rich and poor, Republican and Democrat, naturalized and immigrant, straight and queer, saint and sinner. See beyond. I know it's nonsense. And only by this are we more than conquerors. Many will call this nothing but craziness, nonsense. But today, Jesus prefers to call it God-sense, a sort of holy nonsense that makes all the difference. And so, Jesus turns his gaze towards us this morning, and he asks you and me, have you understood all this? May our lives unequivocally declare, yes, we have. Amen.